Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. Wassalamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home. In the sixth year of the Hijri, the sixth year of Hijri, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam decided to expand his mission of da'wah. And just to explain, when we say the sixth year of Hijri, the Islamic calendar begins with the Hijrah, the migration of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The other calendars of the world generally begin with the birth date of an individual. 2021, they say that this is the birth date of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. Wallahu alam. But the Islamic calendar begins with the hijrat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so two locations we have to understand, which is very important: Makkah Mukarrama and Medina Munawwara. When we say the sixth year Hijri, it means that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam arrived in Medina and he stayed there for 6 years. And so when he was in Madinatul Munawwara, the sixth year, that is the sixth year of Hijri. And he was given Nabuwat at the age of 40. So he stayed in Makkah Mukarrama for 13 years. And after 13 years, he went to Madina Munawwara. And then he stayed in Madinatul Munawwara for 10 years. So 23 years of Nabuwat given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is something for our youth to understand, something very, very important, the Islamic calendar. So the first Hijri would be the first year arrival of Huzur alayhi salam in Medina Munawwara. Second Hijri means 2 years of his stay in Medina. Third Hijri means 3 years of his stay in Medina Munawwara. And the sixth Hijri means that he was in Medina Munawwara for 6 years after migration. Very simple. And it is at that time, the sixth year Hijri, he decided that he is going to expand his mission of da'wah outside, not just with the local people, but other people also must know about Islam. And so what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam did in the year 6th Hijri is that he wrote 8 letters. How many letters? 8. And 8 letters he wrote, and he selected 8 leaders, very powerful people, influential people. Some of them were Arabs and some of them were non-Arabs. But no doubt, all of them were very, very influential people, powerful people. And for him to personally go was difficult. So he chose messengers, eight messengers to go to eight locations with the letter of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this letter, again, very, very simple. We see even Sulaiman alayhi salam in the Quran when he gave a letter to Bilqis, and very simple. He said, look, worship Allah and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them that I am Muhammad, the Nabi of Allah, and I invite you that you worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you worship Allah, there is good news for you. You will be given Jannah. And if you don't worship Allah, then there is Jahannam. And so take this life very, very seriously. A simple note that was given. We won't go with the eight letters, it'll take too long. But from the eight that were selected, there was one man whose name was Thumama. Thumama. A letter was written to him, an Arab. And Thumama was a very powerful man, a very, very powerful individual in Arabia. And he reigned in the area of Yamama, where you have Najd. So he was the supreme leader of the tribe which is known as Banu Hanifa. A very powerful, huge tribe, Banu Hanifa. And so Thumama was given a letter also. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave a letter to his messenger and said to him, go to Thumama. And he was an Arab, and tell him that the Nabi of Allah is inviting you towards Islam. And at that time, of course, the Muslims were in Medina Munawwara. And the Mushrikeen of Makkah did not have a very good relationship at all with the Muslims. So the Muslims were now in Medina Munawwara, and the Kuffar basically were in Makkah Mukarrama. Khair, what happens? When the messenger of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes with the letter, and he reads the letter, Thumama becomes very, very angry. Ego, very angry. And he rips the letter, throws the letter, but he didn't stop there. He did something which generally was against the protocol also. Not just in Arabia, but worldwide, internationally, you don't shoot the messenger. You never kill the ambassador that comes. He is the one who gives you the messenger, no matter what. And this was something that was agreed by everyone. Because in those days, you didn't have the telegram service, email, your postal service, you know, your messages that you could send. The only way to give message from one delegation to another was physically for a man to take a letter that was stamped and sealed and to give it to him, and complete protection is given to the messenger, the envoy, complete protection. And so this was a difficult job, and he killed the messenger of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So understand this. He showed no respect to the letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Number two, what he should have never done is to kill the messenger of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he was so angry that he took an oath. He said, I am committed now that I will also make sure that I, al-iyadhu billah, go to assassinate this man Muhammad in Madinatul Munawwara who claims to be the Rasul. So this is what I'm going to do. And these were brave people. The Arabs were strong people. What they would say, they would do. Until some of the elders in the tribe of Banu Hanifa stopped him and they said to him, bhai, what do you think you're doing? Do you think this man is a loner? This man is so powerful that his every utterance is taken very, very seriously. There are people who are prepared to die for him. He is the noble of the Quraysh and a very, very powerful man. You can't just go to Medina Munawwara and Aliyazu Billah harm this man. So be very careful. So anyway, they stopped him and he had to change his mind, but still that anger that was there. And so what he would do is that he had mobilized his men that anyway they would hear of a companion coming, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sahabi. So they would just want to kill that sahabi. And that is what they were doing. So anyway they heard of a sahabi, then his men would kill that companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so he was doing things that were obviously not right and very difficult. There was no way to compromise with him politically if you have a look. And so subhanallah al-azim, this man Thumama now had complete hatred for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Before we continue, just to explain, why would the Arabs have so much hatred for the prophets who came and who invited them to Tawheed, to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My respected brothers and elders, our culture is very different to the Arab culture. We don't value our parents today, and we don't value our family today, and we don't generally value family members. But in Arabia, their culture was very different. They loved their forefathers. Their lineage, their tribe was everything for them. If you hit one, that means you've touched everyone. And there's a civil war that breaks out between the tribes. You could not touch a single member of the tribe. Complete protection was given to them. A very different culture. And so in a way, Thumama took this as an offense. That are you swearing at our fathers? Are you saying that they were worshipping the wrong God? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them that I invite you to one God, he took offense that how come you are swearing at my forefathers? Are you saying that the idols that we are worshipping and for generations we are worshipping the idols? Are you saying that our forefathers were wrong? And these were people who loved their forefathers. These were people who had the utmost respect for their clan, for their uncles. And that is why, remember, in Arabia, the mushrikeen could not directly harm Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There was a block that came from his uncle, Abu Talib. And this was a privilege. This is what they looked at. That how can we touch him when Abu Talib is there? And when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted to speak with the mushrikeen during Sulh Hudaybiyah, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam chose Hazrat Uthman, again a noble, a man who had a noble tribe living in Makkah. So choosing him as a spokesperson for the Muslims was the best strategy. Why? Because he had family members and his tribe was already living in Makkah Mukarramah. So he took offense that how dare you swear at our parents and how dare you come with this new religion. And so who we are worshipping the idols is right because our forefathers were doing this. And so this is why in anger what he did is that he killed the ambassador, the one who came on behalf of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, representing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so he was killed. Allahu Akbar. And so my respected brothers and elders, There are a few things and a few points that we also need to look at here. Look at the intelligence of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only in the 6th year of Hijri, whilst living in Makkah Mukarramah for 13 years, there was no time, there was only battle and fighting and difficulty with the mushrikeen there. And then when some refuge was given to him, some aman was given to him in Madinah Munawwara, immediately Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now thinking that I have to invite people towards Allah. And so the scholars have mentioned a few points that we look at here, is that number one, unfortunately, with the Indian culture and people from the subcontinent, the Indian culture, Pakistani culture, our Bangladeshi culture, a lot of the Indian culture that we came to this country also, alhamdulillah, you will find Muslims to be very pious. We've always maintained the building of masajid and making sure that our children have madrasa, and to a degree protecting everything. Alhamdulillah, that is good. But we fundamentally miss out the most important sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is to invite the non-Muslims to Islam. And shaitan, he is the master in showing you halal to be haram and haram to be halal, to stop you. So the excuse he puts in the minds of people, oh, we born Muslims are so weak, why should we give da'wah to the other Muslim, to the other people? Can you imagine that? How shaitan works. A typical jahil attitude. Exactly what the forefathers of Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam said. They said to Ibrahim alayhi salam, qalu wajadna aba'ana. Look, our forefathers were doing this. You know, who are you? So we are weak, so why should we invite somebody else? But logically, even if you are weak, if you invite someone to Islam, maybe he might be stronger than you in his Iman and Islam. So isn't that good for you? Isn't that good for the Muslim community? So immediately Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is thinking that how am I going to invite the non-Muslims even out of my locality for them to become Muslims, for them to accept Islam, and for the light and the nur of Islam to spread. And so this is something that is a must for us, my respected brothers. Especially the Indian Muslims, the Pakistani Muslim, the Bangladeshi Muslims, alhamdulillah, we have seen with the Arab culture that they still have this fizz in them and energy, and a lot of other individuals, other groups of people, alhamdulillah, they understand the importance of giving da'wat. But our Muslim community, we are so relaxed, as if we have privatized our Islam. Hamara larka bas madrasa mein ja raha hai, dusre bhar mein jaye, tel lene jaye. Allahu Akbar kabira. You know, alhamdulillah, we've done 4 months, 40 days in the path of Allah, we are secure. Our child goes to Darul Uloom, our child goes here, studies here, we've done this, we've done that. And we are so complacent, when Allah has given us an opportunity to live in this country. We are doing the same mistake which our forefathers did in Africa. They lived in Africa, they did not pay attention to giving da'wah to the locals. But before that, the wave of the Arabs that came, they turned all of Africa into Islam. All. Gambia mein Musalman kaise hue, گینے بیساؤ میں مسلمان کیسے ہوئے, گینے کوناکری میں مسلمان کیسے ہوئے, all the coastal regions, how, all these areas. But when we went, when we came from India and all, and now we come here, we've forgotten our works. Sadly, even the Maulvis don't know what is, they have also been hijacked. They don't even know. It seems that they are blind from the Quran and Hadith. The sixth year of Hijri, 8 letters were sent so that these people can accept Islam. Why? Because we are not to monopolize our deen. This deen is Noor. Wallah, my respected brothers, this deen is Hidayat. This deen is guidance. What is it? And the rest of the world don't have guidance. Somebody who's educated does not mean guidance. Just to give you one example. Alhamdulillah, it is only the Muslim community of the world that understands the importance of hygiene. Can you imagine that? We live in the modern world, but even today, 80% of the world population maybe uses tissue paper in the toilet and gets out. Ye Andrex, they use Andrex. They say Andrex does a better job than water. I don't know. We won't go into the nitty gritty of that. But believe me, no Andrex can do what Islam teaches you. Alhamdulillah. A simple thing like hygiene. Shariat teaches us the farais of ghusl, the wajibat of ghusl, the farais of wudu, the wajibat of wudu, how to do ghusl, when is ghusl farz, what to do, how to clean your body, how to maintain your body, all of these hygiene, masail, nobody in the world knows, nobody has got the guidance. Ye hidayat, Islam, this is just one element of hidayat that Allah Pak has given us, the circumcision. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. How many accidents happen on a Friday night, Saturday night, and you see the doctors are busy. Why? Oh, somebody was drinking alcohol and because of being drunk, fatal accident, 3 people have died. Or there was a group of people and they were drunk and another person didn't realize, he took a bottle and smashed it on somebody's face. And there were some people doing drugs and they didn't know and they did an overdose. And some people have died. Why? There is no one to tell them that this is haram. There is no hidayat given to them. But Islam gives us hidayat. Islam holds our hands and tells us alcohol, haram. Gambling, haram. Drugs, haram. Allahu Akbar. How beautiful is that? Respecting your elders, farz. Worshipping Allah, farz. Looking after your iman, farz. Look at the hidayat. Look at the hidayat that is given to us, my respected brothers. The etiquette, everything. We don't realize this, my respected brothers. Why? Because, alhamdulillah, we were born with these blessings. We were born with these blessings. We know that these blessings are inherent to us. And so this hidayat was given, this hidayat is given, and Allah's Nabi wanted to give this hidayat to the rest of the world. Muslims are the only people who take care when it comes to the rights of women. Rights of women. Islam gives it to them. A Muslim woman is never required to work all her life. How beautiful is that? Today you look at the modern woman like a headless chicken, bichari. You know, she's in competition with the rest of the world and in her mind, I have to be independent. You know, she's tired and she has to be like a man, goes out, work, this, that. She's not there looking after the children. What's that? Look, I'm not saying a woman can't work. I'm not saying that. But Allah has made in Islam a woman a queen. The father looks after the girl, married. The husband looks after the wife. Thereafter, if Allah blesses the woman with children, then all the children will shoulder with the mother. Maa hai hamari bhai. We'll look after her. Ma hai hamari. They do that, don't we? Alhamdulillah. Who teaches you this? Shariat, alhamdulillah. You see, Islam gives everything. And what is amazing here, the intelligence of, the intellect of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who did he invite? Who were these people? Who were these people? Who were these people, my respect? The elite. Who were they? Kings, leaders of their nations. You know, subhanallah, these were leaders of the Roman Empire, the Persian Empire, heads of state, mashallah. The scholars have mentioned Allah's Nabi wrote a letter to them. Why? Because once you win the heart of that person who is the most elite, right at the top, Islam teaches you to think big. Islam teaches you to think big. So when you have someone right on the top, and when his mind is changed, and then when he becomes a Muslim, the rest will also follow. The rest will also become Muslims. And so that is why, my respected brothers, the Muslims that are in privileged positions, Allah has given them this honor. If you are an MP and you go to the member of Houses of Parliament and you have the opportunity to visit other members, other MPs there, you have an opportunity to influence other people and talk to them about Islam. But very sadly, the people in power, never mind influencing the other people, they are influencing the wrong way and they turn away. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That is why you'll find brand names are promoted when you have famous people wearing the brand. Why? Because they know if we pay him millions, we will get millions back. Sports personalities, ambassadors, they have a very important job. When you start meeting other people, talk to them about it, about Iman and Islam, they have an opportunity, but nobody is doing it. Perhaps after Muhammad Ali, the boxer, Allah give him Jannatul Firdaus, the only sports personality that comes to mind now is Habib Noor Muhammad, the UFC fighter. That alhamdulillah, wherever he goes, Allahu Akbar, the sajda, talks about Iman, about Islam. Very proud, the Dagestani fighters, proud people to be Muslims, very proud. Alhamdulillah, famous. And they can influence people, and you see people showing respect to them. Sometimes what happens when you have a lot of money pouring in, then you lose your sanity. And you want to be like the rest of the people. But then you have also very pious people. People like Muhammad Ali, Allah give him Jannatul Firdaus. All his life he gave dawah. And you have this man also, alhamdulillah, Allah bless him. What a man. He could have earned millions of pounds, millions and billions of pounds. Alhamdulillah, he can be an ambassador of these sports, and alhamdulillah, in Abu Dhabi, there's no shortage of money with the Muslim community there. He could do whatever he wants. But a man of principle, my mom does not give me permission. Subhanallah. Think about it. I value my mother above everything. It is the wish of my mother that I come back. It is the wish of my mother that I retire. It was the wish of my father that I do this. Achhi tarbiyat hui. Unke abba ko bhi Allah jannat de. So these were people, and this is what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us. When you can influence people from the top, and that is why you have to have the best people on the top. But today what happens, we have the most corrupted, weak, liberal-minded Muslims right at the top. And that is why you'll find that we never see things to go how as Muslims we would want it to be. Because we don't have, alhamdulillah, what we need, we don't have that. And so these are very, very important lessons for us to learn from the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khair, going back to this man, his name is what? What is his name? Thumama. Sunne ki baat hai. Thumama decides now that he wants to go for Umrah. Remember, in Jahiliyyah, the mushrikeen of Makkah, they did Hajj and they did Umrah. Why did they do Hajj and Umrah? Because remember, Makkah was the hometown for Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was the Nabi of Allah. So all the time Iman and Islam was already there in Makkah Muqarraba. But later on, as we know of history, someone bought an idol from Syria, and then slowly in the Arabian Peninsula, idol worshipping became dominant. So what they did a mix of both. They were even worshipping Allah, they believed in Allah because of the influence they had with Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's family, and also the influence of the locals that came along and they started worshipping the idols. So what they were doing is that they were doing Hajj and they were doing Umrah, but on behalf of their idols. So Thumama decides that I want to go and I will do Umrah. Lo behold, what happens is that, remember, that the Muslims were on one side and the Mushrikeen were on one side. And Thumama trespasses and he is taking a pass where it is the Muslim control line. Muslim line of control. So the Muslim battalion, the batch that were there, they see that this man, he's not a Muslim and he is now crossing the boundaries. So very quickly they captured Thumama. They captured Thumama, they got hold of him. Now, they got hold of him, but they didn't know that he is Thumama. They didn't know. So what they did is that they captured him and they took him to Medina Munawwara. When they took him to Medina Munawwara, what the Muslims did is that they tied him as a prisoner with one pillar of Masjid Nabwi. One pillar of Masjid Nabwi. So they tied his hand. And they had a lot of respect for Huzur alayhi salatu was salam. So they would wait for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to come out and have a look. So Thumama was there, he was sitting, hands tied behind. The Muslims were there, a captive. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam came, he was sitting in front. Somebody came and said, Hazrat, you know, we've captured this man in our location here. And we brought him here. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, who is he? And they said, we don't know him. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam turned around and looked at him and says, oh, do you know who this man is? Lo behold, ye to Thumama hai. Who is he? This is Thumama. This is the man who is the leader of the Banu Hanafiya tribe. Sahaba ikiram ajma'in got excited, huh? He killed the envoy, the messenger. He killed so and so Sahabi. And now it's our time to take revenge. Oh, this is Thumama. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam completed his namaz. And he didn't even go and meet Thumama. He said to the companions, I want you to give him the best hospitality. I want you to give him camel milk 2 times a day. The Arabs, they loved camel milk. Morning and evening, when he wakes up, give him camel milk. When he goes to sleep, you give him camel milk. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to his house and he said to the family members that I want you to prepare meals, good food. And the food that will be given to him will be from the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah's Nabi, subhanallah, has not even met him, did not even see him. So they give him milk, they give him food, and he's quite shocked. Now can you imagine if you were Thumama for a minute and you think about it, you know, what's happening here? I did every wrong that you can think of and every hospitality, you know, is being provided. What's the issue here? And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam after a few days came to him and went to Thumama and sat in front of him and said to him, Thumama, Mada indak, how are you? How are things with you? So he says, Indi al khair, everything is fine. Now he knew that he's a prisoner. So he said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in tun'im, tun'im za shakir, that if you show graciousness and if you are benevolent to me, then you will be benevolent to that man who knows how to be very grateful. In return, a man who knows how to be very, very grateful. That if you show kindness to me, rest assured, in return, I'm not a man who will forget. I will also return the favor and I will also be extremely kind with you. In tuqtal dha damin. And he is saying to Huzur alayhi salam, you have another option. If you kill me, my blood is very heavy. I am the leader of Banu Hanafiya tribe. Complete Yamama. I am the person who rules a massive tribe. And there will be great issues if you are to kill me. So, dha damin means I am a man of great lineage. I am a man of a great tribe. And then the third thing he said to Huzur alayhi salam, that if you want compensation for the wrong I have done, my tribe is prepared to give you all the wealth and you take the wealth. And we ended there. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahu Akbar, what a great man he was, did not answer him, looked at him and smiled at him, stood up and walked away. Subhanallah, understanding the psychology of every human being, that is a sign of an intelligent man. You know, some people are so much in haste. Now, this must happen. Now. Now imagine if Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taken this approach. Oh, Thumama, you killed my companions, you killed my envoy, you did this. Who do you think you are? How do you think he would have responded? In a very negative way. In the same manner. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a master in changing the condition of the heart. Allah's Nabi would work with the heart before your other organs. Allah's Nabi would want to make sure to his best ability that let me change the condition of his heart. So Allah's Nabi gave him an opportunity. Allahu Akbar. For him to see the companions. For him to see the masjid. For him to see the discipline in the masjid. For him to see the sahaba. For him to see Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's akhlaq. How the Muslims were. How the Muslims would worship. And he was tied in the masjid. And to marinate him basically. To give him that time. To show him. And the narration of Hazrat Abu Huraira, after his first meeting, the next day Allah's Nabi did not go to him. Thereafter, another day, Allah's Nabi went to him again for the second time, sat next to him and said to him, Ya Thumama, Mada Indak, you know, how are things with you? He says, Khair. The same words repeated. In tun'im, Za shakirin, if you show kindness to me, rest assured I will be very gracious to you. If you want to kill me, then I have a strong tribe that is behind me. If you want money, I'll give you money. When he said that for the second time, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at the sabr, smiled at him, stood up and went away. Subhanallah. And then, after a few days, remember at that time food is given to him, milk is given to him, hospitality, people are treating him well. The third day, Allah's Nabi comes to him and says to him, Mada indak, how are you, Thumama? The same words were repeated. No changes. Look, these are the three options you have. But if you want, we'll give you money. Huzur alayhi salam after the third time said, okay. He said to his companions, free him, lift him up, Thumama stand up. And said to Thumama, Thumama, you are completely free to go. There is no retribution, no revenge, no nothing. I don't want money from you. I don't want nothing from your tribe. You are an honorable man, free to go. Just think for a minute, my respected brothers and elders, if you and I were in that position. You know, for someone who is kind to you, to be kind to them is easy. For someone who is kind, to show kindness to someone who is even neutral to you, it's easy. But for someone who has killed your messenger, who wanted to kill you, who has killed your companions, and he does not give up, and he's still saying, I have family, and I have this, and I have that. And then to show mercy to him, that is the meaning of the verse of the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you, but only as a mercy for everyone in the creation of Allah. This is the mercy. Thumama is shocked. Thumama stands up, and he says, I'm free to go. He says, yes, you're free to go. It's okay. Thumama stands up and he walks and he goes to Baqi. And there Baqi, you had this date garden, mashallah, an orchard that was there, that had also water flowing on one side, extremely hot. So he washed his body parts, he washed his face, he washed his hands and legs and everything. And obviously because of the heat, in 2-3 minutes he was dry again. And then he turned towards Masjid An-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he walked back to the masjid. The Sahaba were there, shocked to see him, wondering why is he back when he's free to go. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was informed, he came. And the words which were uttered, ajeeb. Allah's Nabi asked him, why are you here? So he said, your face was the most hated face for me, but it is the most beloved face for me now. What did he say? Operation of the heart. Done. Your face was the most hated face for me, but the most beloved face for me now. Your city was the city that I hated the most, Medina, but your city is the most beloved to me now. Your religion was the religion that I hated the most, but it is the most beloved to me. Ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And he accepted Islam at the hands of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What a powerful man. And he says, O Nabi of Allah, such was his confidence. He says, not only do I embrace Islam, with my Islam, my entire tribe becomes Muslims. When my entire tribe becomes Muslims, my entire alliance is with your army. And the entire tribe of Banu Hanifa is with you, O Nabi of Allah. And then sincerity was there. He says, O Nabi of Allah, how can I repay and what punishment should be given to me for killing some of the companions and for killing your ambassador? Allah's Nabi made it very clear, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that by you accepting Islam, Allah deletes all your past sins. All your guna, maaf. So he says, O Nabi of Allah, what can I do? I'm in Medina. My intention was to go and do Umrah. Allah's Nabi said to him, go and do Umrah, but do Umrah in the manner I teach you how a Muslim is supposed to do Umrah. So it is said that Thumama is the first Muslim to sing the Islamic Talbiyah. Because the Mushrikeen of Makkah, remember, they did not allow Muslims to do Umrah. And when they were reading Talbiyah, they were taking the names of the idols. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught him that look, when you go and when you perform Umrah, Make sure you say, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik La Sharika Laka Labbaik, Innal Hamda, Wal Ni'mata Laka Wal Mulk La Sharika Lak. He says, okay. Allah's Nabi taught him the manner of Umrah with Tawheed, like how a Muslim should do. So, Thumama now goes to Makkah Mukarrama, and now he is doing Umrah, and when he is doing Umrah very loudly, saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik La Sharika Laka Labbaik, all of the mushrikeen of Makkah crowd up. And they say, how dare he talk about the oneness of Allah when we have other gods? And they started beating him up. And they couldn't see his face properly and they couldn't recognize him. But some of the elders in Makkah, when they saw him, they said, stop immediately. Why are you hitting him? He's one of us. He's Thumama. So they said, Thumama, you know, are you making a mistake? Why are you saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik? He says, no mistake. I'm a Muslim. So some of them started to hit him again. And the elders stopped. And they said, don't touch him. He's a very powerful man in Arabia. And indeed, he was a powerful man. So, Thumama looked at them. He says, okay, no problem. You've punished me. Now you see. Because the produce and the food that entered Makkah, the convoy and the caravan had to pass from Yamama, his territory, to come into the city of Makkah. He says, I am going to block all your caravans for you. I'm going to block all the caravans for you. An embargo. Sanctions. Sanctions. And so he went back, Banu Hanifa, and now every food, caravan, produce, everything that was supposed to be distributed in Makkah, he would block it. And the people of Makkah found it very difficult. The sanctions, embargo that was imposed by Thumama was very difficult. It became so unbearable because they hit him that they wrote a letter to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina Munawwara. And they said to him, O Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are a Muslim and we are non-Muslims, but at least we share humanity and we are human beings. Our children are suffering, our animals are suffering, we are suffering, our businesses are suffering because of the sanctions that has come from one of your followers, Thumama. Tell him to allow the produce, the food and the caravans to come to Makkah Mukarrama, for we know you to be a merciful man. What a great Nabi he was. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These were the same people who tortured Bilal. Same people who tortured his own daughter. Same people who forced all of the companions out of Makkah. Despite all that, remember the sanctions and millions of babies that died in Iraq. That died in Iraq out of starvation. Subhanallah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrote a letter to Thumama and wrote a letter to him and said to Thumama, Thumama, Allah has sent me as a merciful human being. I am not here to harm women, children, men. Children are crying. Immediately allow the food to come to Makkah Mukarrama and stop this embargo, sanctions immediately. And this is when food started coming to the city of Makkah Mukarrama. And so my respected brothers and elders, Alhamdulillah, we learn a lot of important lessons from these snippets of the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How our Nabi was and how intelligent he was. At times you will find someone who is your worst enemy. But if there is a possibility that you can change the condition of his heart, then Alhamdulillah we should do so. Sometimes in a marriage you will find that the husband doesn't like the wife doesn't like the husband. So many times they'll say, oh, you know what, I just can't get along with this person. No, but have you worked? Have you tried? Have you shown some effort? Look at Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, showed so much love. And when you are sincere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there to change the condition of the hearts of people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, my respected brothers, that alhamdulillah, we talk about the seerah, talk to our children of how Allah's Nabi was rahmat, a source of mercy, and talk about his seerah And most importantly, practice upon his seerah. Wherever you are, you have an opportunity. Talk to people about Islam. Invite them. Bring them to the masjid. Read the Quran to them. Show them and explain to them the qiraat of the Quran. If they have questions, you have ulama in this city, alhamdulillah. Try your level best that before we depart from this dunya, at least living in a country in which we are a minority, we have fulfilled not just the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but min sunanil mursaleen, the sunnah of every nabi that came. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك نستغفرك ونتوب إليك وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين